Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, April the 3rd, 2012. Hope you're having a good day and the allergies are not getting you down like so many people in southern Arizona. I think the dust yesterday kicked up those pollutants. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show, as we enter our 11th month on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, simulcasting on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show for you at buckmastershow.com and at the radio station, KVOI.com's website. You can hear our programs anytime, anywhere, three different venues, buckmastershow.com, TucsonSentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to one. We'll get things rolling with Terry Bracey, the Buckmaster Show contributor on Washington and government affairs, talking about can anything get done in Congress this election year? 20 minutes past the hour, it is the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman, who is with me in studio waiting for his segment. Let me do a quick, he's got sort of a frown. That means the Shelley Fishman Dow Jones Industrial Average Smile Index indicates the market is not so hot today. 30 minutes past the hour, looking more like a recovery underway in the Arizona housing market. That's good news. Housing analyst John Strobeck will join me in studio. We'll close out the show with a representative from the United States Border Patrol talking about the start of the deadly season for border crossers. And we encourage you to be part of the conversation on the Buckmaster Show. You can call us anytime on our live line, 790-2040, 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using our Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And we begin now on this jam-packed Buckmaster Show with Terry Bracey, the Buckmaster Show contributor on Washington and governmental affairs. In a 40-year Washington career, Terry Bracey has been asked by three presidents of both parties to serve in appointed positions, most recently as the founding chair of the Tucson-based Udall Foundation. Terry began as an aide to Mo Udall and went on to high-level positions in three presidential campaigns and a three-year stint as Assistant Secretary of Transportation. Terry is a senior partner in Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano in Washington, D.C., where they represent the city of Tucson for the past three decades. Terry, how are you today?
I'm great, Bill. We got to shorten that introduction. I don't deserve that much.
Well, you got a long introduction here.
I'm old.
And we got a jam-packed show, as you heard in the introduction. Hey, Terry, Congress has certainly a long to-do list. And as I mentioned there in the intro, you know, it is an election year, so how much is going to get done?
Well, the answer is not much. But giving them a break, Congress rarely does much before spring. And after the State of the Union, there are a series of breaks that they take. Hearings on appropriations bills are underway. There are 13 of those. A number of non-controversial small bills have passed, but nothing major. Probably the major story so far has been passage of the aviation bill, which will affect all airports and airlines, including Tucson's. And the sad tale has been the inability to pass the transportation bill, which is a non-ideological infrastructure bill that employs 50,000 construction workers for every $1 billion spent. A lot of disappointment over their inability to do something that's apparently that simple.
Well, Terry, I know you follow the news very carefully and closely. You try to listen to, of course, the Buckmaster Show every day, and you read the Arizona Daily Star online, and you know one of the big issues here, Terry, potholes. The roads are deteriorating. So what does all of this indecision in Washington perhaps mean for us?
Well, it makes it impossible for the local managers of transportation to do very much that's effective. I would not want to be the city manager or the head of the transportation department in Tucson because, one, There's a triumvirate involved in transportation funding. That's the local government does its part, the state government, and the federal government does a major part. Well, it isn't coming. And when it's coming in fits and starts. And it makes it extremely difficult to plan ahead, to put money aside for projects and then be able to count on them. So to some extent, while fixing potholes in local streets is the business of local government, the funding stream still goes back to Washington and it isn't getting done.
Yeah, the Highway Trust Fund, of course, is crucial to the operations of federal, state, and local governments. So this is we're really poised for a problem here, aren't we?
Well, and that's why I have to believe that they're going to get something through. I fear it's going to be the eighth temporary extension. But we've got to get something agreed to fairly quickly for the remainder of the year so we can get busy on these projects.
And the House passed the so-called Ryan budget, calling for no new taxes and major cuts in all the entitlement programs, such as Medicare and Medicaid. So will this see the light of day in the Senate, Terry Bracey?
Not a chance. It's really a campaign document. And both parties, to be fair, have now sort of pulled back to a campaigning position. And, of course, all the speculation here in town now is this a replay of 1980 when the Democrat Jimmy Carter lost, or is this a replay maybe of 1948 when Harry Truman came back and upset Thomas Dewey?
Well, you look at the 1980 situation, and, of course, I remember that one. I don't remember the 48 campaign, but I certainly remember 80, and I remember those gas lines. And, of course, people are talking about high gas prices again in this campaign.
There are similarities, no question about it. And the Republicans who hold this have a point. You know, the high gas prices, the struggling economy, trouble abroad. President Carter, and I was in that administration, had all of these problems, but, you know, he had a lot more. When you think of the Carter presidency, the price of oil tripled in the course of his 4 years, if you can imagine. That had a huge impact on the dollar and on inflation, and if you recall, we were in double-digit figures in inflation. And then he was hit by the Iranian hostage crisis, which was just a daily drama that played out on television and did not end well. It did not end the way, say, Osama bin Laden did. And gas prices were controlled by OPEC for the first time, and there was not much he could do about it. Now, the situation today is quite different. You have high gas prices, but we have more production capacity in the United States, and we're using it. The economy is not on the downturn, which it was with President Carter going into the election. Rather, it's on the upturn. And, there's just a lot of differences of tone and style. So my guess is that if you're going to pick a year, at least for now, I would look to 48, and I know it's way, way back, but I remember as a child growing up in St. Louis, listening with my parents on the radio as the surprise results were coming in. If you recall, Thomas Dewey, the governor of New York, Bill, and you have to recall some history here, but he was the overwhelming favorite. And yet, you know, Truman, another Midwesterner like Obama, dealing with a bad economy as they shut down defense operations from World War II, trying to deal with a big unemployment problem. And Truman sent them to school on the GI Bill. That's what he did with them. But he still had a terrible problem. The conventional wisdom was that he really did not have a chance. And, President Obama ended last year largely in that same position.
You know, you mentioned the Dewey campaign, and of course, anyone who has been a student of journalism knows that iconic photograph with the headline, the newspaper headline, Dewey defeats Truman. And of course, that was always a lesson to us in journalism school, never jump the boat.
Yeah, it's the most iconic of all the political pictures, I think.
So
now you have Governor Romney apparently with the nomination almost in hand, but he's taken a terrible bruising in the primaries, and the conventional wisdom of late last year was that, you know, President Obama probably wasn't going to be reelected. Now it's turned around completely, as the polls have, and it now looks like the Republicans could be in for a rough year.
Well, Terry,
the Tea Party Congress may not have proved to be a real plus for the Republicans.
So of those years, 1980 or 48, that we have been reflecting on, in your opinion, which year will this one be for us in 2012?
Well, first of all, I advise no listener to bet on my bets because I'm frequently wrong. But this year looks more like 48 than 80 to me. And I think as of now, there's an excellent chance not only that President Obama will win, but he could well bring a Democratic Congress with him.
Okay, the opinions of Terry Bracey. Terry, thank you very much, and it's always good to get your take on how things are going. We'll look forward to your visit with us next month.
Good. I may change my mind by then.
You are entirely entitled to do that, Terry Bracey. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. Bye.
Terry Bracey covers Washington, D.C. and government affairs for us here on the Buckmaster Show. Always has some great insights. This guy has been around the Capitol a long time, so it's always interesting to hear what Mr. Bracey has to say. It's always interesting to hear what Shelley Fishman has to say. Don't go away. Tuesday Moneymaker Report is next on the Tuesday edition of Buckmaster.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here is the man himself, Shelley Fishman. And Shelley, I have not checked the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I was so busy this morning, I didn't even look at it online. So I'm going to have to rely on what I call the Shelley Fishman Smile Index of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And just from the look on your face, it's a down day on the market.
Yeah, we're down about 84 on the Dow right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not
but
a good
didn't
day.
We hit? We've hit an all-time well, not all-time high. Biggest. We were up the highest level since.
This is not disturbing at all. I mean, we're even at this level. The Dow is at 13,178,179. No. This is just the normal up and down
bump in the road.
Bump in the road, and you've got to expect those kinds of things. You've got to plan for them. And for people who watch the Dow every day, like I do, or watch the indices every day, like I do, you have to kind of hold your emotions in check when you get 1% swings. This is only 0.5%, but you can't expect that these indices are going to go up, 30 or 40 points every day without some profit taking, without some taking a breather. Right now, the Dow for the year is up, 7 or 8%, something like that.
Pretty good.
It's fine.
Trust is a huge deal for both myself and Shelley Fishman, and it's a huge deal because it's a big deal in my business, the information business. In fact, I like to bill myself as Tucson's most trusted voice. And in your business, you have to trust your certified financial planner.
Yeah,
or whoever you have planning for you.
Bill, this whole issue of trust has been brought to the forefront recently, and certainly in the past year or so, after the Dodd-Frank regulatory legislation, by having charged the SEC with the responsibility to redefine what the relationship should be between an advisor and a client. And a couple of weeks ago in the New York Times, a mid-level VP at Goldman Sachs wrote an op-ed as he resigned from Goldman Sachs.
His last official act.
Yeah, and it certainly his tenure there wasn't going to live past this op-ed. But what he said was the view, the attitude toward investors at Goldman Sachs was so toxic, so demeaning, that it was, from his perspective, not a place he could any longer work. That created a flurry of commentary and activity. And then there was an article in Investment News a couple of weeks ago by Daria Mercado in which she started exploring some of the fallout from this article. And she interviewed several investment advisors talking about what that really meant, and did it rekindle this whole discussion, because the SEC has put it on hold for a while, of what should be the relationship of an advisor to the client. Is an advisor acting as a fiduciary, having the best interests of the clients as their first consideration? Should that be the standard in the industry, or it should be something more relaxed than that? For instance, you know, are you talking, if you as a client mm-hmm. are sitting with your advisor, are you sitting there with a sales rep, or are you sitting there with somebody who really has your best interests at heart? Now, are those two things always, you know, in counterpoint to one another? Well, they don't need to be, but they certainly can be. And Aria tells the story here of a rep at one of the big wirehouses. I don't need to name it, mm-hmm. but they're all kind of the same. You know, getting in 30 days, getting 25 emails saying you've got to sell this product, you've got to sell that product, you've got to sell this other product. Make sure this product is in your clients' portfolios. There's this pressure
pushing products to
push you. They call the stock du jour, yeah. if you will.
The stock of the day.
And so, you know, if you're sitting there as a non-financial professional, shouldn't you be able to rely on the advice that you're getting as being not from pressure from above to sell this to you, but rather that person taking your side, if you will, and doing what is not just appropriate, but what is best for you?
And I say, as a consumer, I want that trust level.
Yes,
I don't want someone selling me a bunch of products.
Right, yeah. And I believe you should have that. I must say that very powerful forces in my industry don't agree with that. They agree that the standard of care should be what's called what's appropriate. It's an appropriateness standard, that you should judge an advisor based upon whether or not what he or she is recommending is appropriate, not necessarily what's best. Simultaneous to this stuff going on, there's been some talk about some products in the marketplace called non-traded REITs, real estate investment trusts, and some horror stories being documented of people in their 60s in IRA accounts, in other words, in retirement accounts, being sold non-liquid investments. We see this on the radio all the time. We get people who are hawking essentially annuities that have very rigid penalties for taking your money out early. And these things are being sold in IRAs where liquidity is very, very important. Now, yes, they have guarantees of return, but if you need the money before the penalty periods are up, you know, you're going to pay a very large penalty. So this whole idea of what's appropriate, what is risk, what is liquidity, and how those two things play against each other are back in the headlines, and I thought we should talk about it.
Well, I'm glad we are talking about it, and I guess the best thing to do is, if someone wants to meet with someone that they have not met with before who isn't in your field, is to sit down and ask a lot of questions.
Asking questions is so important.
I mean, you just get to know this person.
Yeah, and it's remarkable how, you know, it's kind of like going to see your doctor.
Yeah.
You know, how much pushback do you do with your physician? Well, after all, that physician knows a lot more about you than you do, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think so, but you think there's this figure of authority sitting there, mm-hmm. and you put yourself in their hands. And to a certain extent, it's the same thing with financial advisors, especially for people for whom financial matters are really foreign, and you don't trust yourself. So you put yourself in a position of being subordinate to a person who should be at best your equal and who should in many ways be subordinate to you and your interests.
We've been talking with Shelley Fishman. Shelley does our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley is located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. And tell us a little bit about how folks can get a hold of you.
The best way is to pick up the phone and dial 795-7950. But if you want to check me out first, go to my website, and that's shelleyfishman.com, and you get a biography, and you could look up all of that stuff before you talk to me.
Yep,
and
then when check out his resume. Yep. I think you'll be impressed.
Yeah, thank you. When you sit and talk to me, though, ask questions. Push me hard. Make sure that the relationship is going to work for you.
There's a link to Shelley also at buckmastershow.com. Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The National Weather Service says tornadoes have touched down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. There is at least one report of damage. Weather Service advisories say storm spotters and radar reveal separate tornadoes south of Dallas and Fort Worth. The Weather Service says the tornado south of Fort Worth caused considerable damage near Claiborne. Local TV footage shows a large funnel cloud on the ground near I-35 south of Dallas. The Weather Service says a large and extremely dangerous tornado was near Lancaster, about 20 miles south of Dallas, moving to the north. The three survivors of yesterday's shooting at that small Christian university in Oakland, California, have been released from a hospital there. Wall Street, the Dow down 107 points. More details at srnnews.com.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Thank you. Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Franzheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:34 on this Tuesday afternoon. Want to remind you that support for Buckmaster comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Realtor.com, an online real estate company, says Tucson is now the best market for real estate investors. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is John Strobeck. John is the owner of Bright Futures Business Consultants, which publishes the Orange Reports, offering the most accurate, updated, and reliable information on the Tucson housing market. John, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. How you doing?
Well, I keep reading front page stories, two in the last 7 days from the Arizona Republic, talking about the Phoenix Valley home prices on the upswing, fewer Valley homes for sale, prices up. Sounds to me, or looks like, Phoenix has turned the corner.
Well, I think Phoenix is doing very well. From what I can see from the first of the year, they have started to get higher volumes in a lot of ways. Permits are up in Phoenix. Permits are doing very well. The sales are going up. Prices are starting to move up. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Phoenix trend, you got that continual downward, and we see a little bit of an uptick, which is really different. So Phoenix is doing a little better than we are right now.
Let's talk about this housing report for housing investors listing Tucson number one. How much stock do you put in that Realtor.com's top investment towns?
We have a huge, huge amount of foreclosure homes that have been on the market. And right now, the median price of a foreclosure home, Bill, is around $97,000.
Under $100,000.
So you look at that, and that's the median price, and we're selling about 300 to 350 a month of those. So 175 of those were below 95,000 or 97,000, and another same amount above it. So yes, there's good opportunity to pick up stuff that is really, really inexpensive, and do a little fix up on it, and then turn it around and sell it for a fairly decent profit. And there are a lot of investors out there right now.
Realtor.com tracked information from 146 major metropolitan areas. Tucson was number one. Austin was second. Kansas City, Missouri, third. Baltimore, Salt Lake City, San Jose, where both John and myself spent a little time.
Yeah,
I'm a little surprised about that. I can recall the days, John, and I know you as well, when San Jose had some of the highest housing prices in the United States.
Oh, my. I remember when I was there in the late 80s, yes, you couldn't touch a house. As a matter of fact, I ended up buying a condo.
Well, we had a townhouse over there because we couldn't get into a house. This was in the 80s. We wanted to get a house in Willow Glen, which you know is a really nice area that I would say is kind of, I'd say it's comparable to here in Tucson, the Sam Hughes neighborhood.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Small homes, maybe like about some 1,100, 1,200 square feet. But I'm not kidding you, John. In the 80s, we're talking $1 million.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. It was crazy. That's why I ended up in Newark in a condo.
In Newark, California,
yes.
In a condo. Yeah. Well, how about building here? This is one of the areas that you track. Is there any life in the home building industry right now?
Well, Bill, you know, at one time, if we go back to the 2005, 2006, one out of every three homes sold was a new construction home. We're now at one out of every 13 homes is a new construction homes. So the market share of new construction has dropped dramatically. As a matter of fact, I think we're at the spot where we're saying, look, there is about 10% of the market that wants new construction homes. And that's because that's what they want and that's what they're going to buy. And I think that's the bottom that we're going to see. But I think 10% is the bottom of where new construction is going to be. But it's, boy, it's not doing what it was. And that is hurting us economically here in Pima County.
So you're saying that just roughly 1 out of 10 buyers, they want a new home. They want everything new. They want a home that's brand. They want a home that they can walk into. Everything's new, and that's the only thing they're going to settle for.
Right. Yeah. That's what they want. A certain area. They want a brand new home, and that's what they're going to settle for. And that's why we have that many, which is not a whole lot. Once again, but it's still better than none, I guess.
Where are they building? Where is building going on?
Actually, most of the building that's taking place right now is. Couple of places. One is in Marana, both at Dove Mountain, doing very well out around Dove Mountain area, and also over in the northern part of Dove Mountain, northern part of Marana, where the farm field and those Gladden Farms and those areas, they're still doing some building out there. Then if we look at the other spots that are having building, we would go to the south portion, went down to Rancho Sahorita and around that area, plus then over into Vale and Rancho Del Lago is still having some activity. And those are the major points or places that we have any building activity going right now.
How has this building how has this market changed possibly for in our lifetime, certainly? How has it changed forever, really?
Well, I think the big change that we see is the fact that we've had literally 50,000 people that have had their homes taken away from them, and consequently, we have a whole different set of people that have a bad taste about buying houses. And so they are not really in the mood to ever go and buy a house and say, I'm going to commit to a 15 or 30 year mortgage, and this is what I want to do, because they have a bad taste in their mouth because it ruined their credit. They had to move. They had to take the kids out of school or whatever else happened to them because of what's gone on. So consequently, we're seeing a whole different product come on the market.
What does that product look like?
That product looks like a rental home, and in a section that has tons of these rental homes. And we have two places that they're really coming on right now. One is at Tancaverde and Dos Hombres, where Roger Carver has just put in another one of the small rental home areas. And the other is over at Riverside Crossing, where Humberto Lopez is building.
So this could be the future then, these particular products.
You know, it's going to be a part of the home building industry that we haven't seen before. And I could see us really getting into the portion where people go in and say, look, I don't want all the headaches of home ownership, and I want to live here, and I want to pay $2,000 a month, and that's all I want to do. I just want to live here and pay $2,000 a month, sort of make homes a commodity. And I think that we're going to see a portion of our market turn into that. And down the line, as a matter of fact, I wrote an article for the newspaper that they asked me to say, what is it going to be like 50 years from now? And I indicated that, you know, we'll have houses that are so technologically advanced that people will buy a 2060 model home and then maybe 5 years later go buy a 2065 model home.
Kind of like what we do with an automobile.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, what does that mean for those of us that like traditional homes? What's our future look like?
Well, I think we're still going to have the traditional home out there. That will be the majority of the type of real estate that'll be there. But we are seeing some different things happen, and it's going to be expanded. I think the thing that's going to change mostly is going to be how things are financed, because the government has backed all these loans. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are bleeding to death from what they have done, and we're going to see changes in how things are financed.
The prices for homes, are there some particular sectors of our area where the prices are starting to rebound? The foothills area, is it pretty much just static?
We're just bouncing along the bottom right now. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing any really upturn in anything. It's a little bit up 1 month, a little bit down the next, a little bit up, a little bit down. We are seeing a few more permits being pulled, but we only have 2 months of permits for this year compared to last year. But we're seeing a little bit of upturn in permits for new construction homes, which means that we should be a little better off. But it's going to be an interesting year because this is the year that the resets and these bad mortgages ends, and we'll start to see a decrease in the foreclosures, and that will make a very interesting market for us for a while.
The realty community looks to inventory. Can you give us a kind of a quick picture of how does Tucson and Pima County look for inventory of homes on the market?
Well, inventory of homes, and you made an interesting point when you said on the market. Okay, we have about 7,000 homes on the market right now, so 7,000 homes is somewhere around where we should be. So that's not a whole lot of houses. That's 6 months of inventory.
So that's an average inventory.
Right.
How many people are on the sidelines that would like to be in the pool?
Well, I'm saying that if we just took 2,000 people that didn't sell their homes over the past time since we've seen the downturn, which is now 5 years, you're looking at 10,000 homes.
That changes the inventory picture,
right?
In a
big way. People have taken their homes off the market because they can't sell them and make.
And then
any
the
money.
Price goes down. So right. The more, that's the basic economics. John Strobeck, where can people find out more about you and your products?
www.orangereports.com or 751-0676.
John Strobeck, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:50 on this Tuesday afternoon. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, simulcasting to southeastern Arizona. Our friends carrying the program out of Douglas, KAPR, AM 930 out of Douglas. And together, the two stations pretty much cover about seven of Arizona's 15 counties. So very good reach for the Buckmaster Show. Well, rescued immigrants, perhaps a half dozen still in Border Patrol custody today after being rescued in the desert near Gila Bend. The immigrants had been walking in the desert for the past 7 days. The Maricopa County Sheriff's Department got a tip about the immigrants and found them, and they told sheriff's deputies that they had been abandoned by a smuggler. Joining me in studio is Mario Escalante, a spokesman for the Border Patrol in the Tucson sector. Mario, good to see you again.
Hey, Bill, how you doing? I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you back on the program, and this is the beginning of the very dangerous time in the desert. And, you know, this story out of Gila Bend, I think, kind of is iconic of what really goes on this time of year. These people had not had, I understand, food or water for a couple of days.
That's correct, Bill. And you mentioned it yourself. I mean, it's all within the folks being abandoned, these illegal aliens being abandoned by the smuggler, let alone the fact that they probably didn't even know that they were going to be walking so much. And prior to their entry, they were probably weren't even allowed to obtain any type of food or water. And that's a pretty vast area. We're talking about a pretty good walk from the international border to the area where they were located. So, I mean, at this point in time, you could literally see it in their eyes when they see law enforcement or Border Patrol that they're very happy to see us.
Is this typical smugglers will abandon people?
Currently, it's a trend that is occurring. We've seen it in the past, but it's something that we're starting to see even more.
Take their money, and then it's just a ripoff.
Well, exactly. I mean, these smugglers aren't looking to expose themselves or put themselves at risk. So what's going to happen here is if they see themselves in trouble, the smuggler's he's going to flee and leave the group out there in the middle of nowhere.
I know you've been trying for several years to get the word out to the border crossers. There is a public service program also that's run in Mexico on the other side of the border. Do you think it's doing any good?
It is. It is. And what we're doing now is trying to reach home. Trying to reach locations or the states where some of these folks
like
are.
Like Oaxaca.
Puebla, Oaxaca, Michoacan. You know, some of these states where we see the higher influx of people, you know, to include Central American countries like Guatemala and El Salvador. And what we want to do is send a message out there because once they're in the border region, you know, the smuggling organizations are pretty much going to try and tempt them or even coerce them into crossing the border. And at that point in time, you know, folks are going to say, I'm here now, why not? And we're still trying to change that mentality, and we're still trying to do as much as we can along the border. But we're really focusing on making sure the message gets to these folks before they even think about that dangerous trek.
Mario Escalante is with us. He's a spokesman for the Border Patrol in the Tucson sector. What does your sector cover? I know we have two sectors for Arizona along the border.
That is correct. Our sector covers the international boundary between the Yuma county line and New Mexico-Arizona state line. So we're talking about 262 miles of linear border with Sonora, Mexico.
How much is fenced of that area?
We got approximately about 210 miles of fencing along that area. The other 50 miles, you're looking at mountainous terrain and just terrain that is very difficult to run or attempt to build a fence through.
Let's talk about these new numbers, the number of illegal immigrants in your sector. Living in that sector has dropped. What do the number – you've had a decrease in border crossers now for several years, haven't you?
That's correct, Bill. And if I could show you a timeline now, if our audience could see that timeline, they could see that as each year as we added more resources, as we deployed more manpower, added infrastructure, more technology, then you see the decrease in the apprehensions. But you also see an increase in the seizures of marijuana and hard narcotics.
What was your peak year for, if we had a graph in front of us right now, what was your peak year for illegal border crossers being apprehended?
That would have to been 2000, definitely in 2000. That's when we had our peak season. We had over 616,000 apprehensions just in the Tucson sector alone.
And that has now decreased dramatically?
Well, if you compare to last year's numbers, in 2011, we had over 130,000 apprehensions. So that's a pretty significant decrease.
What's changed?
I mean, currently, our way of working, of operating has changed. Us having more awareness as to the type of activity, where it's happening, the partnerships with local, state, and federal, also with the government of Mexico, having that communication, that coordination, to know what's, you know, even happening before it reaches the border. And when it is in the activity along the border, knowing through other agencies and what kind of information they have, is using targeted operations to focus in mitigating the activity of the smuggling organizations in certain areas. So we're being more tactical. We're being a little bit more resourceful with what we have and being smart about how we deploy it.
There is a lot of concern since 9/11 that terrorists perhaps from the Middle East might use our southern border to cross into this country. Where are most of these illegals coming from?
Well, you know, for us, of course, it's going to be more so the Mexican nationals. That's our highest number. And then, of course, it's followed by South and Central Americans. Other than that, you know, the other numbers would be more sporadic. But, of course, Immigration and Customs Enforcement would have different numbers, as well as probably the Federal Bureau of Investigations when it comes to people of a special interest, if you will.
Is the border secure? I know that you don't want to get too political here, but of course you know that every time there's a political campaign, many of the candidates say they want to make the border secure. How secure is our border?
Well, you know, if I look at it from my perspective, the 12 years that I've been with the Border Patrol those 12 years have been here in Arizona, I was here during the peak season. And I could tell you from what I saw then to what I see now that we have the area a lot better managed. And we have our resources well deployed in areas where we know we are mitigating that traffic and making sure that we don't see a rise again in that same area. In other words, we're not trying to work the same area twice. We're making sure that we manage that area and successfully have the necessary resources that we don't see an increase or we don't see a spike. So I could tell you that, you know, with the additional resources and with the creation of our agency, of Department of Homeland Security and Customs and Border Protection, you know, being integrated, we do have a lot more resources, and of course, you know, it's unfortunate, but it has to do with what occurred during September of 9/11.
It's a dangerous profession, certainly a Border Patrol agent, but people do want to become agents. You've been, we were talking just before we went on that there's been quite a stack of applications for the Border Patrol.
That's correct. I mean, and you have to look at we have to look at the turnaround. We have to look at the fact that we have a lot of the major workforce that, you know, will soon be retiring. So we have to look towards the future, and we have to continue to keep our numbers where we see them fit in order to continue being at the managed position that we are now.
But you are hiring.
Currently, I'm not sure if we are hiring exactly, okay. But we are in the process of going through several of the applications.
And do you look for people with current law enforcement background? What are some of the qualifications?
Well, the qualifications for the Border Patrol a little bit easier. More so is you have to pass that background check. You can be 18 years and older. If you have a college degree, that helps. If you have the background in law enforcement, that helps. Prior military helps a lot too. We're just looking for good men and women that are ready to take on the challenge of working out in these remote areas, in these remote locations.
Mario Escalante, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me. Hope to be back.
Thanks a lot. Mario Escalante, he is a spokesperson for the Border Patrol's Tucson sector, and we always enjoy talking with Mario. He always gives us straight answers. We appreciate that, Mario. Have a great afternoon, Mario.
Likewise, Bill.
Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers, Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. We have another full lineup tomorrow. Jeff Flake is going to be with us, the U.S. Senate candidate on the Republican side, one of the candidates there, and General John Wickham. He's always a great guest. He's the former chief of staff of the U.S. Army. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.